Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 18, 2017, or it's April 22, 2021, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, Just When I Need Him Most. Just when I need him, Yahshua is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Yahshua is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burden pleasures of new. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most, just when I need him, Yahshua is strong. Bearing my burdens all the day long, for all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Just when I need him, he is my home, answering when I call him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever. That's the name of our sermon today. That's found in Psalms 45, verse 6. It says, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So having said that, we're going to now go back to Genesis chapter 49. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And it's got 33 verses. That's how many years Yahshua lived on this earth. He lived 33 years. And so we're going to read, start with verse 1 of Genesis 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Now we are in the last days. And so that goes without saying. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Okay, now, Jacob is reminding his sons that those that overcome and become purified of his descendants will be named Israel. They will inherit his name. Okay, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So this is who we represent today. We represent the tribe of Judah, the house of David, and we have this scepter, and it's a scepter of righteousness, and it represents the lawgiver. Binding his foe unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his borders shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. Well, now, who is Issachar? When Jacob came out of Mesopotamia, and he was on his way back to his father's house in Israel, in the land of Canaan, Israel. It was called the land of Canaan because Israel hadn't been introduced yet unto the land of Canaan until Jacob got back there. A strong ass couching down between two burdens. They put so much heavy idols on these animals whenever they traveled around. For instance, Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, his second wife. She died on the way to Canaan. She never made it to the land of Canaan. And she was an idolater. She stole her father's idols, Laban's idols, and she brought them with her. And Laban came looking for him, and he chased Jacob and his caravan down, and he searched all of their belongings to find his idols. Rachel had hit him, and she was sitting on him, and she wouldn't get up when Laban was trying to find his idols, because he worshipped these here Baal. He was an idol worshiper. But so was Rachel. And so Rachel Anyway, this is talking about these idols were burdens that they put on these asses and they transport them from one place to another. Wherever they moved to, they took their idols with them. But their idols were heavy, heavy, heavy. They was made out of heavy metal, brass and stuff. Anyway, this is what Jacob is talking about. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became his servant under tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. What does it mean, Dan shall judge his people? Well, Dan was not a good person. And he went off and isolated himself from the 12 tribes of Israel in the north. And he kidnapped a priest and from someone else, and he took this priest with him and set up his own temple worship. He had his own priest and he had his own government. And as a part of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he judged his people by that priest that he had kidnapped and set up. And that's what it's talking about, is that Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. So Dan was a serpent unto the 12 tribes of Israel. I have waited for thy salvation, O Yahweh. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield of royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind, let loose, he giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty Yahweh of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So, from the tribe of Joseph, the only perfect son that Jacob produced, proved to be the strength of Israel. Even by the Yahweh of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above the blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the beast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hill. Now, who was Jacob's progenitors? Isaac, his father, and Abraham, Isaac's father. That was Jacob's progenitors. And he says, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hill. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that separates, that was separate from his brethren. Okay, so now, what is the blessings going to be upon? It's going to be upon Jacob. I mean, the blessings going to be upon Joseph. And on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Well, you know what happened? His 10 older brothers sent and sold Joseph into bondage unto the Egyptian, the Ishmaelites, took him down in Egypt. And you know the rest of the story. Joseph became the governor of Egypt, and his brothers had to come down to get corn to sustain life for their family in Canaan, and they end up having to bow down unto Joseph, just like the dream said there. I believe it's in Genesis 37. Anyway, you can look it up and read it for yourself. It says in Genesis 37, verse 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it unto his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance unto my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hate him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me." Genesis 37, verse 10. And he told it unto his father and unto his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves unto thee unto the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Okay, so we know the rest of the story. Joseph was sold into Egypt by those 10 brothers that hated him for his interpretation of his dream, or the telling of his dream. So, and Genesis 49, it says, so it goes on and says in verse 27, it says, "Benjamin shall raven as a wolf, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil." All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according unto his blessing he blessed them. Death and burial of Jacob. And he charged them and said unto them, "I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah's wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there they buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the spirit and was gathered unto his people." And that brings us to the end of our study Genesis 49. And it's not the end of our study for the day. Let's go now. Let's go to Psalms 44. It says, we have heard, let's start with verse 1, we have heard with our ears, O Yahweh, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of the old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and punish them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O Yahweh. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies, through thy name. Now here's the key right here. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. And what is thy name? Yahweh, Elohim, Yeshua, the Son. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. And Yahweh, we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for the meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their pride. Thou makest us a reproach unto our neighbors, a scorn and a derision unto them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of the death. If we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh, look here, here's a question now. If we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh, or stretched out our hands unto a strange God, shall not Yahweh search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So here's a key word right here. If we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh. Now we have this lady, Sharon DeLong now. She's married to Alan DeLong, the elder that was with us for 33 years. And she has created a new name she says is the name of the Son, Yeshua. She called it Yasharon. And she says that name belongs to her. That's her new name, because her name is Sharon. So Yahweh just added the front part of Yeshua's name to her name, and now instead of her, instead of the Son having the Father's front name, Yeshua, it is now Yasharon. So what has happened? This lady has taken the place of Yeshua with the Father. Now she has taken his place. And she doesn't realize how subtle that is. That's exactly what she's done. And this is the first time I've seen that. Because Shua is Yahshua's name, the Son. But Yah is the Father's name. So as Yahweh gave Elijah his name, Eliyahu, two parts of his name in the Old Testament, Elijah the Tishbite, he gave that to him. Elijah come from Gilead. He has no pedigree. Nobody knows who his ancestors were. But he came from Gilead. And we don't know what his original name was. All we know is that the Father called him and gave him two parts of his name, Eliyahu, and the English transliteration is Elijah, spelt with five letters. But Yahweh gave Elijah originally seven letters to his name and two of his names, Eliyahu. Eliyah, Yahshua called upon the Father's name, Eliyah, whenever he was hanging on the cross, just before he died. He said, Eliyah, Eliyah, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried out to the Father. Well, that was a name that he gave to Elijah the Tishbite that had no pedigree, that came from Gilead, though. Okay. So anyway, it says, Yahweh, shall not Yahweh search this out? If we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh, or stretched out our hands to unto a strange Yahweh, shall not Yahweh search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
To a strange deity.
I meant to say a strange deity, not or a strange God, not a strange Yahweh. Okay. So it says in verse 21, I'm going to read it again. Shall not Yahweh search this out? Well, I'm going to read, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So it says right here, if we have forgotten the name of our Yahweh, Elohim, or stretched out our hands unto a strange deity or a strange god, Baal, shall not Yahweh search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Yah? Yahweh, arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. So Yahweh has mercy on Israel. He doesn't have any mercy on the heathen that falsifies his name and that falsifies his truth of the ordained system of the true worship of the sanctuary. He does not have any mercy on them at all. But he has mercy on his people that have been led astray. Because they have not protected, the truth, and following the laws of the sanctuary explicitly, as is pointed out there in the law of Moses. All right. So now that's the end of chapter 44. Let's go right on into Psalms 45. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore Yahweh hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of the truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, Yahweh, thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who is his fellows? Well, he anointed Joseph with the oil of gladness above his fellows, even his mother and father. He anointed David, Samuel anointed David above his seven brothers. That was his fellows. Then let's go on. Psalms 45:8. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. One of my favorite hymns is Out of the Ivory Palaces. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in the gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Sure shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy king. And worship thou him. Now, we're supposed to worship. I'm sure that we're supposed to, we can worship the Son. I'm sure of that. We can pray unto him. We can pray in his name. And for his sake and his mercy's sake. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious. Within her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Okay, so now who is he going? He says, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Okay, he's talking about the name of David. He's talking about the name of David here. Okay. That ends chapter 45 of Psalm. Let's go right on into chapter 46. 9/11, when that took place in 2001, we had those twin towers brought down by the evil governments of this world, the Illuminati. I call it like it is. It's the Illuminati was behind it all. That's Satan's government. That's his shadow government. That's lurking behind all of the sins that happens in the world, of all governments. It says, verse 1, Psalms 46. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the trouble. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua, the Son, is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of the Yahweh, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Okay. For the Yahweh is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her, and that right early. For the heathen raged, the kingdoms removed, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Yahshua of the host is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, we could very well say the Yahshua of Jacob, the Son, is our refuge. And he indeed has been made our refuge. Because we're covered by his blood, those that accept it and those that are pardoned, and their iniquities that are pardoned, it is done by the blood of Yahshua. So how you measure it. Verse 8, Psalms 46. Come, behold the works of the Yahshua. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. You get that? He maketh wars to cease. Well, what is he doing right now? Donald Trump is in charge of our government here in the United States. He's the newest general put in charge. And he is making wars to cease. What did he say in Syria? He went over and he bombed that airfield. He says, Assad will do no more terror in Syria. If he does, there will be consequences. The terror will stop here in Syria. North Korea says, we're going to bomb the United States. We've got our nuclear weapons pointed at her. We're going to blast her off the face of the earth. What does Donald Trump say? He said, okay, you want to make statements like that? He says, I'm going to send 3 aircraft carriers. And I'm going to send them right off of your border. And I'm going to send an escort of destroying ships. And they're on their way right now. And he says, now you make another threat. And he says, I'll blast you. You won't make no more when I get through with you. So, it says right here, this Donald Trump, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And who is in charge of Donald Trump? Yahshua, the commanding general of this world. He has made Antipas Cyrus, Donald Trump, his commanding general. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am Yahweh. I will be exalted above the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahshua the host is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now this chapter 46 was read by a minister on the steps of the White House after 9/11 took place, when those twin towers were brought down. And he left out one verse of this chapter 46, but he did read the main of it. And the main verse that I believe he read or might have left out, I'm going to double check this, was verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Yahweh, he called it God, what desolations he made in the earth. I think he left that verse out. he read verse 7, he said, the Yahshua of the host is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge. And then skipped verse 8, he went to verse 9 and said, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am Yahweh. I will be exalted among the heathen. Actually, it should be still and know that I am the Yeshua, your Redeemer. I will be exalted among the heathen. And what did Yahweh say? Yeshua said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted up, in other words, if I be exalted above all, he said, I will draw all men unto me. And I believe that's in Matthew chapter 12. We might turn and read that real quickly. It says, maybe it's Matthew 11. Correction, that's in John chapter 12. Verse 30, Yeshua answered and said, this force came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, this verse applies along with Psalms 46, where it says, verse 8, come, behold the works of Yahweh, what desolation he has made in the earth. That was when he brought those twin towers down. Okay. And the 2001, that's that where this verse applies. Now he says in John 12:31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So now, when does this prophecy make its complete fulfillment? This took place at the cross. Yahshua pronounced his judgment at the cross, and he went back to heaven. And in Revelation 12:9, he cast Lucifer out of heaven. He cast him out of heaven with his angels. In Revelation 12, verse 9, he said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers is cast down, which accused them before Elohim day and night. Well, you know, it just so happened that in 2002 was the beginning of the judgment of the living, when Yahweh made the change of the guard in Kermit, Texas. He changed it from the judgment of the dead period, with Brother Johnson bringing it close to the judgment of the dead at the end of the 11th parabolic hour, starting the 12th parabolic hour. That's when we had this 9/11 take place at the 12th parabolic hour, at the beginning of the 12th parabolic hour. And so here you have it. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, this verse 31 of John 12 is fast forwarded now to 2002. It has a twofold application. It had an application at the cross when Yahshua resurrected and went back to heaven. The first act he did was cast Lucifer and his angels out of heaven. And he said he cast them into the earth. And it says so there in Revelation 12. It says he cast them into the earth. And in Revelation 12:9. Let's see. It says he cast them into the earth. And verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Well, when did he start persecuting the woman? During the Dark Ages. Had a 1260-year period of time of persecuting the woman by the Catholic Church from 538 to 1798. Now we have a double application of it today in the judgment of the living. Ezekiel 9 shows a double application. But the 144,000 are harvested from the Adventist Church. Okay. So now, when did the judgment begin then? This is talking about when Yahshua says, now the judgment of this world, that's the judgment of the living that applies to 2002. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Okay, so now, what did I just read to you? in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am the Yahweh. I mean, I am the Yahshua. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, this could have very well been written in red letters, but they don't give any red letter writings in the Old Testament for Yahshua. They don't give not one. But Yahshua did plenty of talking in the Old Testament. But the translators were not allowed to go that far in their translation of the KJV. Nevertheless, it says, Yahshua of the host in verse 11, Isaiah, Psalms 46, Yahshua of the host is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge. All right, now, I said earlier that the God of Jacob there in verse 7 of Isaiah, Psalms 46, says, I call it the Yahshua of the host, the Son, is with the is with us. As the Yahshua of Jacob is our refuge. For the Yahshua of the Jacob is our refuge. Okay, and then it says in verse 11, for the Yahshua of the host is with us. For the Yahshua of the Jacob is a savior of Jacob. The savior of Jacob. Because when Jacob wrestled with that angel all night and got the victory, he was wrestling with Yahshua, the Son. Okay, having said that, that finishes up Psalms 47. Now, let's go into, let's just continue our study now right on into Psalms 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto Yahweh with a voice of triumph. For the Yahshua most, for the Yahweh, the Father, he's the Most High. Yahshua is the second unto him. It's terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. All right, now let's bring that on down to this earth. For the Yahshua, he's the Most High of this earth. Yahweh the Father is the Most High in the heavens and in the universe. He's the Almighty. Yahshua is the Mighty One. Yahshua is not the Almighty. The Almighty belongs a title unto the Most High in heaven, the Father. But the Mighty is a title belongs to Yahshua. And he is the Most High of this earth. He is a great king. Well, Yahshua has been given that title as prophet, priest, and king of this world. So he is a great king over all the earth. Okay. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. In Matthew 7:25 it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And what house is this? This is the house of David in the 12th hour. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay. There's your rock. And what does that rock represent? It represents Yahshua. Let's go back to Psalms 47:4. He shall choose our inheritance for us, for the excellency of the Jacob whom he loved. So, Yahshua chose our inheritance for us. We inherited the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, the house of David. We inherited the royal house of David. Psalms 47:5. Yahweh is gone up with a shout. The Yahweh, the Yahshua with the sound of a trumpet. Oh, look at this. Yahshua is gone up with a shout. Now, what does it mean, Yahshua is gone up with a shout? This is the Son. I know I said originally the Father, but no, this is Yahshua. Okay, now when did he go up? With the sound of a trumpet. In Psalm 68, verse 24 and 25, it says, "They have seen thy goings, O Yahshua, even the goings of my Savior, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with the timbrels. Bless ye Yahshua and the congregations, even Yahshua from the fountain of Israel." Now, what is that fountain connected to? The ever-flowing fountain of Zechariah 7 is the fountain of blood. It's the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And Ezekiel 47 river there. And so it's in Zechariah 7. Fountain has been opened for sin and uncleanness unto the house of Israel. It's the fountain of Israel. Okay. Let's go back to Psalms 47. It says, "Sing praise unto Yahweh, sing praises unto our King, Yahshua. Sing praises. For Yahshua is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. For Yahshua reigneth over the heathen. Yahshua sits upon the throne of his holiness." Okay. Where is that at? In the throne of David. Luke 1, 31 and 32, 33. "For the princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the Yahweh of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto Yahweh. He is greatly exalted." Let's do that again. "For the princes of the people are gathered together." Alright, who is this princes of the people? This is 144,000 prophets, priests, and kings. They're princes. They're the rulers of the 12 tribes of Israel in these last days, 144,000. Okay. "Even the people of the Yahshua of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto Yahshua. He is greatly exalted." This is what I'm talking about. Yahshua has been greatly exalted, he says there in John 12, 31, 32. "And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me." All right, that's the end of chapter 47. Chapter 48, Yahweh. "I know great is the Yahshua, and great is to be praised in the city of our Elohim," now there's a father, God it says, but Elohim, or Yahweh, "in the mountain of his holiness." What's the mountain of his holiness? Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. "The mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be exalted on the top of the mountains." Beautiful for situation, for the joy of the whole earth is with the Mount Zion on the sides of the north as the city of the great king. Okay, and so now the city of the great king, the city of David, the city of Yahshua, the city of Yahweh. Yahweh is the author and the creator of the beginning of all creation, and so therefore the Father is at the top of all of this. Yahweh is known in her palaces for a refuge, or Yahshua. "For lo, their kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Yahshua of the host," and that's in Jerusalem, "in the city of our Elohim, for Elohim will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O Yahweh, in the midst of thy temple." Let's look at that again. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O Yahshua, in the midst of thy temple. Okay. According to thy name, O Yahshua, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. And Yahshua's name is greatly to be exalted and praised. Okay, it says, let Mount Zion rejoice, and let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. What does it say that Yahweh has given all judgment unto his son here on earth? It says in John 5:22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear shall live. There it is, right there. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given unto the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Okay, that's in John 5:27. Marvel not at this, verse 28, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, going to hear the Son's voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It says in verse 30 of John 5, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Okay. So, that right there pretty much takes care of it. Let's go now back and finish up with Psalms 48. It says, verse 12, walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it unto the generation following. For this Yahshua is our Redeemer and Savior forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. So, this brings the close of our study. This is how you can contact us at the 11th Hour Corners, number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. Dusty Roads and Sandal Feet by Elijah Davis. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads for you and me. Often prostrate and prone, Jesus bared him all alone, as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and field, and he was complete from an angel to the cross. He goes golden streets to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast the demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads were his companion, desert places his abode. Sandal feet were often weary underneath a weary load. Never complaining as he went along the way. on the way to the Calvary and this day. Dusty roses and those feet, oh, the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. To those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Altar of dust, all the dusty roses and the feet. Dusty roses and the feet, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua? Down your street, would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah who wanted to be? Dusty roses and no feet,